Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Now seek refuge, protection with Allah, God, from Satan, the rejected enemy. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Today is June 9th, the year 2023. You are tuned in for the first portion of our Friday Juma service. The first portion is a playing of a recording of chapter 18 of the Quran, titled Al-Kahf, which means the cave. It is in following the tradition of Muhammad the Prophet, the present peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we listen to or read chapter 18 on Fridays. In about 25 minutes, we will hear the first adhan, the first call to prayer. And at 2 p.m., inshallah, which should be half hour from now, we will begin the actual sermon or khutbah. Time here. Now we will play chapter 18 of the Quran.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful.
Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitaba wa lam yaj'al lahu 'iwaja.
Praise be to Allah, who hath revealed the scripture unto his slave, and hath not placed therein any crookedness.
قَيِّمًا لِيُنذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِّن لَّدُنْ وَيُبَشِّرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا حَسَنًا.
But hath made it straight to give warning of stern punishment from him, and to bring unto the believers who do good works the news that theirs will be a fair reward.
مَاكِثِينَ فِيهِ أَبَدًا.
Wherein they will abide forever. And to warn those who say, Allah hath chosen a son. A thing whereof they have no knowledge, nor had their fathers. Dreadful is the word that cometh out of their mouths. They speak naught but a lie.
فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا.
Yet it may be, if they believe not in this statement, that thou, Muhammad, wilt torment thy soul with grief over their footsteps.
إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا.
Lo, we have placed all that is in the earth as an ornament thereof, that we may try them, which of them is best in conduct. And lo, we shall make all that is therein a barren mound.
أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا.
Or deemest thou that the people of the cave and the inscription are a wonder among our portents?
إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا.
When the young men fled for refuge to the cave and said, Our Lord, give us mercy from thy presence and shape for us right conduct in our plight. Then we sealed up their hearing in the cave for a number of years. And afterward we raised them up, that we might know which of the two parties would best calculate the time that they had tarried.
نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى.
We narrate unto thee their story with truth. Lo, they were young men who believed in their Lord, and we increased them in guidance.
وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا.
And we made firm their hearts when they stood forth and said, Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth. We cry unto no God beside Him, for then should we utter an enormity.
هؤلاء قومنا اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا.
These are people have chosen other gods beside him, though they bring no clear warrant vouchsafed to them. And who doth greater wrong than he who inventeth a lie concerning Allah?
وَإِذْ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا.
And when ye withdraw from them and that which they worship except Allah, then seek refuge in the cave. Your Lord will spread for you of His mercy and will prepare for you a pillow in your plight.
وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ ذلك من آيات الله من يهد الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا.
And thou mightest have seen the sun when it rose move away from their cave to the right, and when it set go past them on the left, and they were in the cleft thereof. That was one of the portents of Allah. He whom Allah guideth, he indeed is led aright, and he whom he sendeth astray, for him thou wilt not find a guiding friend.
وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاضًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعَيْهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ لَوْ اطَّلَعْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ لَوَلَّيْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِرَارًا وَلَمُلِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ رُعْبًا.
And thou wouldst have deemed them waking, though they were asleep. And we caused them to turn over to the right and the left, and their dog stretching out his paws on the threshold. If thou hadst observed them closely, thou hadst assuredly turned away from them in flight, and hadst been filled with awe of them.
وَكَذَلِكَ بَعَثْنَاهُمْ لِيَتَسَاءَلُوا بَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ قالوا ربكم أعلم بما لبثتم فابعثوا أحدكم بورقكم هذه إلى المدينة فلينظر أيها أزكى طعاما فليأتكم برزق منه وليتلطف ولا يشعرن بكم أحدا.
And in like manner we awakened them that they might question one another. A speaker from among them said, How long have ye tarried? They said, We have tarried a day or some part of a day. Others said, Your Lord best knoweth what ye have tarried. Now send one of you with this your silver coin unto the city, and let him see what food is purest there, and bring you a supply thereof. Let him be courteous, and let no man know of you.
إنهم إن يظهروا عليكم يرجموكم أو يعيدوكم في ملتهم ولن تفلحوا إذا أبدا.
For they, if they should come to know of you, will stone you or turn you back to their religion, then ye will never prosper.
وكذلك أعثرنا عليهم ليعلموا أن وعد الله حق وأن الساعة لا ريب فيها إذ يتنازعون بينهم أمرهم فقالوا بنوا عليهم بنيانا ربهم أعلم بهم قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا.
And in like manner, we disclose them to the people of the city, that they might know that the promise of Allah is true, and that, as for the hour, there's no doubt concerning it. When the people of the city disputed of their case among themselves, they said, "Build over them a building, their Lord knoweth best concerning them." Those who won their point said, "We verily shall build a place of worship over them."
سيقولون ثلاثة رابعهم كلبهم ويقولون خمسة سادسهم كلبهم رجما بالغيب ويقولون سبعة وثامنهم كلبهم قل ربي أعلم بعدتهم ما يعلمهم إلا قليل فلا تمار فيهم إلا مراء ظاهرا ولا تستفت فيهم منهم أحدا.
Some will say, "They were three, their dog the fourth," and some say, "Five, their dog the sixth," guessing at random, and some say, "Seven, and their dog the eighth." Say, O Muhammad, my Lord is best aware of their number. None knoweth them save a few. So contend not concerning them except with an outward contending, and ask not any of them to pronounce concerning them.
ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله واذكر ربك إذا نسيت وقل عسى أن يهديني ربي لأقرب من هذا رشدا.
And say not of anything, "Lo, I shall do that tomorrow," except if Allah will. And remember thy Lord when thou forgettest, and say, "It may be that my Lord guideth me unto a nearer way of truth than this." And it is said, they tarried in their cave 300 years and add 9.
قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا.
Say, Allah is best aware how long they tarried. His is the invisible of the heavens and the earth. How clear of sight is He, and keen of hearing. They have no protecting friend beside Him, and He maketh none to share in His government.
واتل ما أوحي إليك من كتاب ربك لا مبدل لكلماته ولن تجد من دونه ملتحدا.
And recite that which hath been revealed unto thee of the scripture of thy Lord. There is none who can change His words, and thou wilt find no refuge beside Him.
واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا.
Restrain thyself along with those who cry unto their Lord at morn and evening, seeking His countenance. And let not thine eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp of the life of the world, and obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, who followeth his own lust, and whose case hath been abandoned.
وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا وَإِنْ يَسْتَغِيثُوا يُغَاثُوا بِمَاءٍ كَالْمُهْلِ يَشْوِي الْوُجُوهِ بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقًا.
Say, "It is the truth from the Lord of you all. Then whosoever will, let him believe, and whosoever will, let him disbelieve. Lo, we have prepared for disbelievers fire. Its tent encloseth them. If they ask for showers, they'll be showered with water like the molten lead, which burneth the faces, calamitous the drink, and ill the resting place."
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا.
Lo, as for those who believe and do good works, lo, we suffer not the reward of one whose work is goodly to be lost.
أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس وإستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا.
As for such, theirs will be gardens of Eden, wherein rivers flow beneath them. Therein they will be given armlets of gold, and will wear green robes of finest silk and gold embroidery, reclining upon thrones therein. Blessed the reward, and fair the resting place.
وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا.
Coin for them a similitude, two men, unto one of whom we had assigned two gardens of grape, and we had surrounded both with date palms, and had put between them tillage.
كلتا الجنتين آتت أكلها ولم تظلم منه شيئا وفجرنا خلالهما نهرا.
Each of the gardens gave its fruit and withheld naught thereof, and we caused a river to gush forth therein.
وكان له ثمر فقال لصاحبه وهو يحاوره أنا أكثر منك مالا وأعز نفرا.
And he had fruit, and he said unto his comrade, when he spake with him, I am more than thee in wealth and stronger in respect of men. And he went into his garden while he thus wronged himself. He said, I think not that all this will ever perish.
وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رددت إلى ربي لأجدن خيرا منها منقلبا.
I think not that the hour will ever come, and if indeed I am brought back unto my Lord, I surely shall find better than this as a resort.
قال له صاحبه وهو يحاوره أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة أكفرت بالذي خلقك من تراب ثم من نطفة ثم سواك رجلا.
And his comrade, when he thus spake with him, exclaimed, Disbelievest thou in him who created thee of dust, then of a drop of seed, and then fashioned thee a man?
لكن هو الله ربي ولا أشرك بربي أحدا.
But he is Allah, my Lord, and I ascribe unto my Lord no partner.
ولولا إذ دخلت جنتك قلت ما شاء الله لا قوة إلا بالله لا قوة إلا بالله إن ترني أنا أقل منك مالا وولدا.
If only when thou enteredst thy garden thou hadst said, That which Allah willeth will come to pass. There's no strength save in Allah, though thou seest me as less than thee in wealth and children.
فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ وَيُرْسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا.
Yet it may be that my Lord will give me better than thy garden, and will send on it a bolt from heaven, and some morning it will be a smooth hillside.
أو يصبح ماؤها غورا فلن تستطيع له طلبا.
Or some morning the water thereof will be lost in the earth, so that thou canst not make search for it.
وأحيط بثمره فأصبح يقلب كفيه على ما أنفق فيها وهي خاوية على عروشها ويقول يا ليتني لم أشرك بربي أحدا.
And his fruit was beset with destruction. Then began he to wring his hands for all that he had spent upon it, when now it was all ruined on its trellises, and to say, Would that I had ascribed no partner to my Lord.
ولم تكن له فئة ينصرونه من دون الله وما كان منتصرا.
And he had no troop of men to help him as against Allah, nor could he save himself.
هنالك الولاية لله الحق هو خير ثوابا وخير عقبا.
In this case is protection only from Allah, the true. He is best for reward and best for consequence.
واضرب لهم مثل الحياة الدنيا كماء أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا.
And coin for them the similitude of the life of the world as water which we send down from the sky, and the vegetation of the earth mingleth with it, and then becometh dry twigs that the winds scatter. Allah is able to do all things.
المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا.
Wealth and children are an ornament of life of the world, but the good deeds which endure are better in thy Lord's sight for reward and better in respect of hope.
وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالَ وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا.
And bethink you of the day when we remove the hills and ye see the earth emerging, and we gather them together so as to leave not one of them behind.
وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم ألن نجعل لكم موعدا.
And they are set before thy Lord in ranks, and it is said unto them, Now verily have ye come unto us as we created you at the first, but ye thought that we had set no tryst for you.
ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا.
And the book is placed, and thou seest the guilty fearful of that which is therein, and they say, What kind of a book is this that leaveth not a small thing, nor a great thing, but hath counted it? And they find all that they did confronting them, and thy Lord wrongeth no one.
وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا.
And remember when we said unto the angels, Fall prostrate before Adam, and they fell prostrate, all save Iblis. He was of the jinn, so he rebelled against his Lord's command. Will ye choose him and his seed for your protecting friends instead of me, when they are an enemy unto you? Calamitous is the exchange for evildoers.
ما أشهدتهم خلق السماوات والأرض ولا خلق أنفسهم وما كنت متخذ المضلين عضدا.
I made them not to witness the creation of the heavens and the earth, nor their own creation, nor choose I misleaders for my helpers.
وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ فَدَعَوْهُمْ فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا.
And be mindful of the day when he will say, Call those partners of mine whom ye pretended. Then they will cry unto them, but they will not hear their prayer, and we shall set a gulf of doom between them.
وَرَأَى الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارَ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا.
And the guilty behold the fire, and know that they are about to fall therein, and they find no way of escape thence.
وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا.
And verily we have displayed for mankind in this Quran all manner of similitudes, but man is more than anything contentious.
وَمَا مَنَعَ النَّاسَ أَن يُؤْمِنُوا إِذْ جَاءَهُمُ الْهُدَى وَيَسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ قُبُلًا.
And naught hindereth mankind from believing when the guidance cometh unto them, and from asking forgiveness of their Lord, unless it be that they wish that the judgment of the men of old should come upon them, or that they should be confronted with the doom.
وما نرسل المرسلين إلا مبشرين ومنذرين ويجادل الذين كفروا بالباطل ليدحضوا به الحق واتخذوا آياتي وما أنذروا هزوا.
We send not the messengers save as bearers of good news and warners. Those who disbelieve contend with falsehood in order to refute the truth thereby, and they take our revelations and that wherewith they are threatened as a jest.
ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه فأعرض عنها ونسي ما قدمت يداه إنا جعلنا على قلوبهم أكنة أن يفقهوه وفي آذانهم وقرا وإن تدعهم إلى الهدى فلن يهتدوا إذا أبدا.
And who doth greater wrong than he who hath been reminded of the revelations of his Lord, yet turneth away from them and forgetteth what his hands send forward to the judgment? Lo, on their hearts we have placed covering so that they understand not, and in their ears a deafness. And though thou call them to the guidance, in that case they can never be led aright.
وربك الغفور ذو الرحمة لو يؤاخذهم بما كسبوا لعجل لهم العذاب بل لهم موعد لن يجدوا من دونه موئلا.
Thy Lord is the forgiver, full of mercy. If he took them to task now for what they earn, he would hasten on the doom for them. But theirs is an appointed term from which they will find no escape.
وتلك القرى أهلكناهم لما ظلموا وجعلنا لمهلكهم موعدا.
And all those townships, we destroyed them when they did wrong, and we appointed a fixed time for their destruction.
وإذ قال موسى لفتاه لا أبرح حتى أبلغ مجمع البحرين أو أمضي حقبا.
And when Moses said unto his servant, I will not give up until I reach the point where the two rivers meet, though I march on for ages.
فلما بلغا مجمع بينهما نسيا حوتهما فاتخذ سبيله في البحر سربا.
And when they reached the point where the two met, they forgot their fish, and it took its way into the waters, being free.
فلما جاوزا قال لفتاه آتنا غداءنا لقد لقينا من سفرنا هذا نصبا.
And when they had gone further, he said unto his servant, Bring us our breakfast. Verily, we have found fatigue in this our journey.
قال أرأيت إذ أوينا إلى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا.
He said, Didst thou see when we took refuge on the rock and I forgot the fish? And none but Satan caused me to forget to mention it. It took its way into the waters by a marvel. He said, This is that which we have been seeking. So they retraced their steps again.
فوجدا عبدا من عبادنا آتيناه رحمة من عندنا وعلمناه من لدنا علما.
Then found they one of our slaves unto whom we had given mercy from us and had taught him knowledge from our presence.
قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا.
Moses.
قال إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا. قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا. قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حتى أحدث لك منه ذكرا. فانطلقا حتى إذا ركبا في السفينة خرقها قال أخرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا. قال ألم أقل إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا فانطلقا حتى إذا لقيا غلاما فقتله قال أقتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس لقد جئت شيئا نكرا قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا
قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا
He said, Did I not tell thee that thou couldst not bear with me?
قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا
Moses said, If I ask thee after this concerning aught, keep not company with me. Thou hast received an excuse from me.
فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا
So they twain journeyed on till when they came unto the folk of a certain township. They asked its folk for food, but they refused to make them guests. And they found therein a wall upon the point of falling into ruin, and he repaired it. Moses said, If thou hadst wished, thou couldst have taken payment for it.
قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا
He said, This is the parting between thee and me. I will announce unto thee the interpretation of that thou couldst not bear with patience.
أما السفينة فكانت لمساكين يعملون في البحر فأردت أن أعيبها وكان وراءهم ملك يأخذ كل سفينة غصبا
As for the ship, it belonged to poor people working on the river, and I wished to mar it, for there was a king behind them who was taking every ship by force.
وأما الغلام فكان أبواه مؤمنين فخشينا أن يرهقهما طغيانا وكفرا
And as for the lad, his parents were believers, and we feared lest he should oppress them by rebellion and disbelief.
فأردنا أن يبدلهما ربهما خيرا منه زكاة وأقرب رحما
And we intended that their Lord should change him for them for one better in purity and nearer to mercy.
وأما الجدار فكان لغلامين يتيمين في المدينة وكان تحته كنز لهما وكان أبوهما صالحا فأراد ربك أن يبلغا أشدهما ويستخرجا كنزهما رحمة من ربك وما فعلته عن أمري ذلك تأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا
And as for the wall, it belonged to two orphan boys in the city, and there was beneath it a treasure belonging to them, and their father had been righteous, And thy Lord intended that they should come to their full strength and should bring forth their treasure as a mercy from their Lord. And I did it not upon my own command. Such is the interpretation of that wherewith thou couldst not bear.
ويسألونك عن ذي القرنين قل سأتلو عليكم منه ذكرا
They will ask thee of ذو القرنين. Say, I shall recite unto you a remembrance of him.
إِنَّا مَكَّنَّا لَهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سَبَبًا
Lo, we made him strong in the land and gave him unto everything a road.
فَأَتْبَعَ سَبَبًا
And he followed a road.
حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ مَغْرِبَ الشَّمْسِ وَجَدَهَا تَغْرُبُ فِي عَيْنٍ حَمِئَةٍ وَوَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا قَوْمًا قلنا يا ذا القرنين إما أن تعذب وإما أن تتخذ فيهم حسنا
Till when he reached the setting place of the sun, he found it setting in a muddy spring and found a people thereabout. We said, O Dhul Qarnain, either punish or show them kindness.
قال أما من ظلم فسوف نعذبه ثم يرد إلى ربه فيعذبه عذابا نكرا.
He said, as for him who doth wrong, we shall punish him, and then he will be brought back unto his Lord, who will punish him with awful punishment.
وأما من آمن وعمل صالحا فله جزاء الحسنى وسنقول له من أمرنا يسرا.
But as for him who believeth and doth right, good will be his reward.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya Allah Salah. Hayya Allah Salah. Hayya Allah Salah. Hayya Allah Salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. I seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. With the name Allah, the merciful, benefactor, the merciful, redeemer. The merciful, benefactor. The one who has benefits to give to us, and that is the mercy. And these are benefits that we didn't ask for, even know to ask for, but we receive the mercies. Ar-Rahim is mercy again. And these are mercies that we ask for, that we ask God for his guidance, his mercy. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. We openly bear witness that there is only one God. In every way possible that one can think or imagine or perceive, the oneness of God and totality of oneness. That's the way of the believers of the Muslim, the Tawheed, the oneness, complete oneness of God. There's no duplicity in the oneness. There's no multiplication or division in the oneness. It's one solid whole oneness. That cannot be duplicated, replicated, copied in any form or fashion. That is the oneness of God. Cannot be multiplied with children, nor came from parents. Allahu Samad. He is total, complete, absolute. No companions, no associates, no partner Allah has in any form or fashion. We cannot emphasize that enough. We cannot emphasize enough the oneness the completeness, the totality of Allah. No partners, no associates, none whatsoever. Never have had an associate or partner, and never will have any associates or partners. He is creator. He is the sovereign king with no one to share his throne or even get close to his throne. Throne doesn't mean a chair. Throne means authority, the rule, the power. So when we speak of the oneness of Allah, we are quite emphatic. We are quite daring. We are quite bold with it. The oneness of God. When you come into an understanding of the oneness of God, and God having no partners, no associates whatsoever, you have solidified within your life a saving force that will allow you to become divided. If you have a concept in your mind that God can be divided, then you're going to be divided. And Al-Islam is here to clarify and to emphasize the point of the oneness of God. Total, complete oneness of God. The evil one, the shaitan, wanted to get in on some of the godship and been trying ever since. They had given us false pictures and said it was God and racial images and certain genders. Sometimes they say God's male, most times it's male. Sometimes they say the God is female. You say, no, God is neither. Anything and everything created is not God. I'm going to repeat that. Any and everything created is not God. Allah has no creator. Some say God is Alpha and Omega. Those are two Greek letters. Like in English, you got A for the first letter and you got Z for the last letter. Where in Greek, they had Alpha for the first letter and Omega as the last letter. And they made a mistake. They said God is Alpha and Omega. In other words, he's the beginning and the end. No, Allah is before Alpha, way before Alpha. And where it's going to be long after Omega. See, that's the human being speaking in a language that they want to comprehend and confine Allah. No such thing. Allah has no beginning and has no ending. That's our Lord. He has no ascended, no parents, and no children. The Quran says, Qul huwallahu ahad, say he Allah is ahad, one and only. Allahu samad, the eternal absolute. He's the cause of all creation, and no creation is the cause of him. Lam yalid, he never gave birth to a baby. He never produced or fathered a baby. He's creator, right? While Lam Yulad, and he himself was never a baby. While Lam Yakul Lahu Kufuwan Ahad, because there's none comparable to him. If God was someone's child or God had a child, then you're going to compare that child to the parent. Automatic, right? Automatic. So this verse says there's no comparison to God. None whatsoever. We thank Allah. We praise Allah. without reservation, without hesitation. Being grateful and appreciative of things that we cannot do for ourselves. And then there are things that we can do for ourselves. We say, thank you, Allah, for giving me the means, the education, and the brain to do things for myself, because without the brain or the means, I couldn't do what I do for myself. For example, I drove myself here in that car, right? Then for Allah to give me the brain and the means, I couldn't drive that car. Yeah. I know people now that used to drive good, but then they say, oh, I can't drive anymore. I got bad vision. I got bad nerves. My timing is off. Yeah? So we say, thank you, Allah, for giving me the ability to do these things. Allah is Al-Haq. Al-Haq. Someone say, well, what is Haq? It says the word that means, and some say it means the truth. And it does mean the truth. But the truth by itself doesn't satisfy the meaning of Al-Haq. Because what's true in that country may not be true in this country. Or what's true in this generation may not be true in another generation. So Al-Haq is saying the universal reality. Allah is a reality that is always true, no matter time, place, or whatever. Allah is Al-Haq. Al-Haq, the truth. And anything that extends from Allah through his mercy to us is also a form of haq. So Allah is the ultimate reality. He is the ultimate truth. That is, we put that L in front of the word in Arabic, then you are saying this is the premium of it. This is the best of it. You can say Quran, yeah? You say Al-Quran, you're saying this is the top of the Qurans to be read, right? And there's a lot of reading out there to be done. So when you say Al-Quran, you're talking about the supreme book. You can say Islam. Islam means peace. And all the prophets taught Islam. But Muhammad bought Al-Islam. You see what I'm saying? Keep out the completion, keep out the ultimate, the utmost form of Islam. So when you say a haq as truth, that's true. But Allah is Al-Haq. He's the ultimate truth. He's the ultimate reality. And without his ultimate reality, all the other realities would never have taken place. So the other haqs that emanate or extend from Al-Haq, they are haq too. The Quran is called haq. Rasulullah, the prophet, he's also known as haq, right? Yes. Certain laws that are given are known as haq, but they all go back to Al-Haq. Al-Haq. Yes. We have Yawm Al-Haq, called the Day of Judgment. Yes. It came from Allah, not from man. It came directly from Allah. The Prophet Muhammad comes directly from Al-Haq. Therefore, he's Haq. Yes? Day of Judgment comes directly from Allah. So we have Yawm Al-Haq. That's the truth. That is the ultimate reality of Allah that extends. So Allah is Al-Haq. Everything which emanates from him is also haq. You can see a difference, right? Allah is Al-Haq. Everything else is just haq. Yeah, emanates from Allah, Al-Haq. In this sense, the Quran is haq, and the Quran bears witness. So is the messenger of Allah, the Muhammad the Prophet, and the Quran bears witness. Our religion, this deen, is also haq. is also hot. I guess somebody got some keys in their pocket and they're rolling on or something. Or someone's child got the keys and they keep pushing the button. I don't know who it may be. I don't think it's me. Yes. Okay. So, El Hafi is the truth. Beitel is the opposite of it. Now we have the Kaya for good, and the opposite of Kaya is Shar, evil. Well, Hafi is truth, and Beitel is the opposite of Hafi. Yeah, the wrong. The falsehood. So the word Hafi is applied to the due process of law. If you get the testimony, tell the truth, the whole truth, but what the truth? So help me God. It's like a heck of a rascal to get there after saying their last word, so help me God. But it is based upon that principle. So dear believers, let us study this word. And always seek to expand your Arabic vocabulary. If it's one word a week or one word a month, get the words in the Arabic. And you need help, ask somebody. You got enough people around here to help you. Say, what does El Haq mean? What does Beitel mean? What does As-Salaamu Alaikum mean? We say it all the time, but do we know what it means in its other applications? So let us encourage ourselves that we study the Arabic of the Quran, and each week, if you can't do a word a day, turn the radio off, turn off whatever is interfering. I got my interferences too, right? I turn them off sometimes. And say, today, I'm going to get this word. When I first begin to learn short stories, I have to put them on a little bit, small piece of paper in my top pocket. And I read just one line. Say it over and over again. Until I had it. And when I had that one, I look at the second line. Read that. See it over and over again. Until I got it. Yes. You say, you did that? Or how many times do you look at the same TV commercial before you go buy what they're trying to get you to buy? They know repetition is the key. Repetition. So let us be listeners of those who strive to become one with El Haq, become one with truth, become one. So how do you become one with truth? By resisting the Beitel, the falsehood. Fight against the wrong. Begin within yourself. And sometimes we say fight the wrong. The first thing we do, we go out there and look at yourself. No, you go and look in yourself. The same what they tell you on the airplane. It's just cabin lose pressure and the mask drop down. They say put the mask on yourself first before you try to put the mask on somebody else. But the same way here. When you go to fight falsehood and fight wrong, don't go try to fight it wrong with somebody else first. Get your own house together. Get your own stuff together. And then sometimes by you getting your own house together, the one doing wrong, they checking you out the whole time. And just your conduct will change them. Huh? By the time you get around and correct them, they have studied your conduct to improve. And never underestimate, dear people, in particular those who are younger than us, never underestimate how they study us and watch us. I found that out from our old neighborhood. We get together quite regularly in my old neighborhood. I told some guys older than me, I said, man, I should look up to you. And they were like, shocked. They said, what? You look up to me? I said, yeah, man, I thought you was it. You was cool. But then guys younger than me told me the same thing. I'm like, you sure it was me you was looking up to? They said, yeah, man, you was it. I'm like, oh, wow. You know, so you can talk a little bit in part two about Kubla, about the what we owe our children, because one of the phrases that I've got on the board where we're going to take notes, it says, Hakahu, it's from the same word, Hak. When the Quran says, your wife has rights over you, that's the word it uses. Yes. So the rights your wife have over you, or you have over your wife, or in this case here, the rights that your children have over you, is tied into a Hak. You see where you're going, right? The rights those children in this room have over us is not because, of course, on the surface, you say, well, I'm the adult, I'm the older one. But if you look at it by being Hakahu, it's tied into El Hak. So the rights that we owe to the next generation is an obligation that we owe to Allah. We're just the medium. We're just the tool or the opportunity. But Allah says, but we owe it to them. But it's a duty also incumbent from El Haq. And you don't want to fall short of pleasing El Haq. We owe our children quite a bit. And as crazy as this society is today, we owe them a whole lot. Lord have mercy. I mean, Lord have mercy. Oh, we owe a whole lot. So we pray to Allah that He guide us and bless us and mercy on our souls. Allah grant us good in this life, grant us good in the afterlife, and protect us from the torment of Christ and sin. And I mean, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The perfect praise belongs to God. Alhamdulillah. 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 So we owe our youth a lot. And Allah reminds us in the Quran, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he told us, he said, your children have rights over you. We have an obligation to our youth. And there's no, I don't think there's no real number we can put on it. Because the Quran mentioned that a man will come into his 40s, he's 40 years old. So then also we know from science now that the forehead, if you look at right, what's this? It's the frontal part of the brain. Can't think of the right name right now. It can give me a second, inshallah. It says it doesn't fully develop until 25 years old. I think it's a little longer for males than females. And this is the part of the brain that you use for making decisions with. It doesn't fully develop until you, well, until your 20s. So it's just when they're grown at 18, that's okay. But their full capacity is not there. And then before they can get their full capacity of their brain developed, they say you can drink alcohol that attacks the very same part that's not yet developed. So we owe some serious lessons to our youth. And even if you're past 25, you could be 45. Why consume a product called alcohol that's going to damage the part that's the forehead? It affects the forehead is the part that sticks out. That's the reason why the nose and the lips and the forehead stick out to people. That's a sign, right? A lot of the signs in your body because they are projecting you towards your future. That's why. Your ears face toward the front and not turn around backwards. Your eyes are to the front. Your forehead is to the front because Allah made us to be a perfect people going forward. But they tell us before this is fully developed, you can consume alcohol. It's going to immediately attack this part here. You get drunk, you throw up, you crash the car on the way home, you go to jail, huh? So we tell our youth, well, 4 or 5 years old. Don't drink. Alcohol is bad for you. Don't smoke. Smoking is bad for you. And it's so interesting. It took them a long time after they made billions of dollars off of it. They said, you know, you guys tell the people those cigarettes killing them. They said, well, we don't want to. Can we say it a little softer? They say, can you put on there, this may be helpful to your health? Maybe nothing. Yes. Alhamdulillah. But these are the messages we owe to our youth. And remember, it's based upon heart. Alhamdulillah. We owe our youth the wisdom. Yeah, everybody come forward, please. We owe our youth the wisdom that we learned from being stupid. And anybody in here not been stupid before? We all have done something very stupid. And Allah blessed us to learn wisdom from our stupidity. And before we let our youth go down that same road of stupidity, we owe them. You know, we can't stop them. What's the old saying, the school of hard knocks? School of hard knocks, it turned out no applicants. If you want to go to school of hard knocks, come on. And your diploma will be a hickey upside your head. Come on. So what we have learned from our stupidity and from our sins, am I telling you all the truth? We don't commit, see, our young people look at us and say, oh, these holy people, they pray five times a day, they fast during Ramadan, and they ain't never. Yes, we have. The Quran said, don't brag about your sins because you're going to be teaching someone else a sin you don't know. But we owe our youth the lesson that say, down that road, you're going to get your behind kicked. And I'm going to tell you how to avoid the problem. We owe that to our youth. I spoke to a friend this morning. She was concerned about her granddaughter. Maybe she's pampering her granddaughter. But then finally she said, you know, sometimes you got to let them go bump their head. But before they go bump their head, please teach them. So that when they want to come back, and in time they're going to come back, they will have a pathway back, because when that pain hit them from going on their path, they're going to remember, Daddy did say so-and-so. Grandma did say so-and-so. I'm going back to where their light is. We owe them that. We owe to our youth to teach them, don't follow trends. Don't follow crazy cultural designs that wicked-minded people create and feed to us and don't feed to their own children through music, through Hollywood, and sometimes through religion. Teach people crazy ideas. And those of us who have came out of that, because many of us, when we came to Islam, we didn't come for Ramadan. We didn't know Ramadan existed. We didn't come for Hajj or five prayers a day. Didn't know it existed. But we heard enough truth about Islam, of other Islam, so we said, hey, I'm like, well, I just heard. And for those of us in the 50s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, we came because we said, they said Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. And racism was so strong in American society, we said, sign me up. Had no idea about Ramadan, Hajj, none of that. Eid. I was listening a few years, I said, oh, Eid, what is Eid? I call myself have missing for years. Yeah. So our youth, we came from lifestyles that were not the best in so many ways. Telling to you, listen to those who are older. We used to pray to a man, white man, and believed he was God. And when we came to Islam, those who wanted to keep praying to a man threatened us, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. I'm telling you what we went through. But we learned from that mistake. And we owe it to the next generation to tell you all. We owe to our youth the ability to fully run this whole masjid, our relationships around the city, to be able to run all this if we've currently just left today. We owe them that. I think about poor Gary, Indiana. I use Gary for my example. It was in 68 when they got their first black mayor, Patrick. Oh, all the black power movements, the black power people ran to Gary, to all the white folks. We don't need y'all no more. As he told you, it's history. You know, got a black mayor. White folks went to Maryville and took with them how to run the sewer system, how to run the garbage trucks, how to push the fire trucks. Took all that little. Oh, y'all leave us, huh? Okay. Sometimes our youth are like that. You try to tell them something before you get them done. They say, yeah, I know. What? What do you mean you know? I ain't done saying what I have to say. I should get them. I wouldn't say get out a few, yeah, I know. Then I say something stupid right in the middle of it. You know what they say? Yeah, I know. Yeah, stop them and embarrass them. We owe our youth to teach them the discipline that God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. You know about why God gave us two ears and one mouth? You should listen twice before you speak. Twice before you speak. We were told one time, think seven times before you speak, and you might be right. We owe this to our youth, that they are not victims of the cultural trends of society. Please, parents, tune in to my blog talk show on Sunday. We're going to deal with a sensitive issue. Email Dr. Nasser Azmi is going to join me. It's going to be a Muslim parent conversation on what should we teach our children about LGBTQ. Muslim to Muslim. If somebody else tune in, they can tune in. That's fine. But we have an obligation as parents to teach on that topic. You say, why? Did we teach on the topic of don't eat pork? Don't drink alcohol? You didn't say anything about that. We had a book, the Quran, a book of pure guidance. We have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uswa, his character, excellent guidance. And the debt that we owe to our children based upon Hawk, we have to have these conversations. We have to. Allah says in the Quran, save yourself. Right? Ku efusikum. Yes, save yourself and your family. And the word ku, a little bit ku, we go back to taqwa. So the seven root is taqwa, God consciousness. So we're going to obey the command from Allah in the Quran, and we're going to save ourselves, put the mask on ourselves, right, and then save your families. And don't fear the criticism or the criticizers, because if you come with the hikmah, the wisdom of the Quran, then your argument is not with me or with us. Your argument is with the truth of the Quran. And we don't feel the criticism or the criticizer, because we're trying to save our youth. We don't let them go wholesale and just get anything in the culture or in society and say, well, you know, they got to be themselves. No, they don't. They don't know themselves. They don't know themselves. It's funny how all the young boys had a grill in their mouth and their pants hanging down, right? And they head turned on backwards, and they all said the same thing. I'm just being myself. Well, there's a whole bunch of y'all. You've been a copycat. You've been a copycat, right? I'll give you another example. I'm done. Now in the NBA, when the guy hit a three, they all do it, right? Remember, y'all see that? Where'd that come from? A trend. They didn't do it 5 years ago. So some see something and they copy. Teach your children not to be a copycat. You say, well, don't you want them to copy off of Muhammad? No, you don't copy Muhammad. You study Muhammad. And you will find that his character is excellence. And then you submit. You don't copy. We got too many Muslim copycats going through rituals, going through motions, because somebody else do it and don't understand what the ritual stands for. So it's time for education. It's time for education. So if we, the whole thing is this. If you give a man a fish, he eats for how many days? But if you teach a man how to fish, he can eat for a lifetime, right? Well then, if we teach our children to think, or if we give them the answer, they get they're spoiled for one day. But if we teach them to be thinkers and to think, they can think for a lifetime. As they say, if you learn to read, then you can read to learn. So we don't want copycat Muslims. We want educated Muslims who are free to use their aqal, their brain, if Allah wants them to use it. Then all I want us to come willingly. You can't come willingly being a copycat. How you can't, you gotta come and say, I bear witness. I'm not copycatting a witness. I personally bear witness. Well, how did you get to the point of bear witness? I study. How you get there, you study. So we owe it to our children to teach them to be independent thinkers, to have a reverence for Allah, to have a respect for Allah, and tell them we'll be back waiting for you right here when you come back from your behind kicking. If the Bible is going to give to you, if you follow their ways. We owe that to our children. We owe it. We in debt. If you are a conscious person, you in debt. Consciousness means you in debt. Deen, our religion, right? It's called deen, it's called religion, but what else is it called? Judgment. Why is it called judgment? Because then you realize I'm conscious that I didn't or I did meet the criteria. So we owe it. We are conscious Muslims. We owe it to our youth. You do how Noah did with his son. Get on the ark. I know, Daddy. I know. He said, my son, second time, get on my ark. And now I'm going to take myself to a mountain. What does a mountain represent? A cultural influence. I'm going to go join this group. All these different letters we got. BLT and XYZ and MAGA, MAG. Everybody got alphabets. we want the whole alphabet. We don't want the partial. Oh, Allah, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for this life as Muslim, striving to please you and you alone. Striving to obey you and you alone. To preserve the best of life for all good people. Ameen. Hakama Tisfala and Kama. Thank you very much.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya Allah, hayya Allah, Allah. Kakamatusullah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
You want to the last Juma that attends the last of all the stuff in the Kabbalah. You might kind of take you to my Chula Kat. The last Juma to Allah the Exalted, praise in the Kabbalah. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله.
الله أكبر.
الله.
الله أكبر. الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم.
It's a $20 for each book for the set together $40.
Oh, it's four books.
No, it's two books. So each one is 20. So the two books is $40 for both books.
Okay.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. We're gonna sign off on Facebook. And we're gonna sign off. For those listening online, I'm gonna play something for you by your man Muhammad. All right, let me get this. Assalamu alaikum, people. This is looking good. I'm kind of learning it too.
Slow as like you're a pro.
No, I ain't going that far.
How's your father doing? Hey, K5, do that.
We want to begin by first pointing to some, I would say, notes of help or support to anyone who wants to study the Quran. And the first and most important of these notes is that the Quran is in Arabic, but the Quran has a superior Arabic to that the Arabs had before the Quran. Arabic then enrich itself. Quran, the revelation to Muhammad, the Prophet, prayers and peace be on him, enriched Arabic as a language. It made the language richer in communication, effective communication. It made it richer in beauty of mechanics, style, etc. However, Arabic is a language that was valued even at the time of revelation for its I would say because it's effectiveness to give a message
without the glasses is number one.
Without wasting
later you
a lot of words. Power of communication to communicate a lot with few words, and with its, I would say, naturalness. The Arabic language has a real naturalness, and you can only become aware of that through really the study of the Arabic language itself. You come to learn that the Arabic has a real naturalness. It's a real naturalness there. As an example, I would say, and I don't have time to really show you all these things now, this is a big subject in itself, that much of our language that we formed ourselves has a real resemblance to Arabic in terms of how we make expressions, you know, how we form an expression. Has a real resemblance to Arabic, the way expressions are made in Arabic. I have one right now. We used to say, "What's with you, man?" And nobody taught us that. We didn't go to school. to learn that expression from school or from anybody. We say, what's happening, man? What's happening? These are acceptable expressions in Arabic. Classic Arabic. Whereas for us, you know, in English, it's a bad English. It's not good English, you know. What's happening? You know? What's the matter with you, you know? What's the matter with you? What's with you? Expressions like that. Those expressions are really acceptable, classical, standard Arabic. Same expressions in Arabic. So Arabic is very natural language. They're very natural language. And believe me, the best of all expressions, I'm using the term expression now in the full context of culture, art, everything, language, art, work, whatever. The best of all expressions in the long run are the expressions that stay true to the original nation. Those are the best expressions. Expressions that stay true to the original nation. This talk that I'm giving you is to introduce you to the study of the Quranic Arabic. To go into the Quran, to learn the Quran in Arabic, thinking that this Quran was just given in Arabic is not enough. Says, why? What was the reason? What's the main reason for the Quran being in Arabic? Some will say because Arabic is the language, is the best language. No, because Muhammad was the best choice for the prophet. Muhammad was the best choice, the last prophet, and he spoke Arabic. So the Quran says, never did God send a messenger to a people speaking another language, something different from what they spoke. That's the understanding. That's the logic. He was an Arab, and the Quran was revealed to in Arabic so that he could communicate it to his people who were Arabs, firstly. Communicate it to them, firstly. And his language was Arabic. He was a native child of Arabia. So his language was Arabic. So God wouldn't communicate him. The same rule. It would be stupid for a man to speak to an audience in another language, in a language they don't understand, and it would be ridiculous for God to communicate to a man in a language he doesn't understand. He was an Arab. His language was Arabia, Arabic. So that's the main reason. That's the main reason. But then God is foreknowing. I think that's enough to say. If it's not, then some of you ought to excuse yourself. God is foreknowing. So it was in God's plan to have his last revelation given in Arabic. It was in his plan. And Arabic has this special value that I've mentioned already, that it had this special value even at the time of Revelation. And I've done some research on Arabic as a language. And the Jews themselves, they say that of the Semitic languages, that Arabic is the most original and the truest to the nature of Semitic language. The truest to the nature of Semitic languages. They check their language by Arabic when they want to see if certain terms have gotten off track or something. They will study Arabic to get help. Not that Arabic is the only help for them, but Arabic is a source, a help for them in correcting problems with their own language, with their language, Semitic language, with the Jews' language. The Jews, the language of the Jews. and when you study the Arabic expressions in the Quran, you could see that without the power of the Arabic language itself, these expressions that come from God would not have the same power and value. Would not have the same power and value. I know of no other language that, and the proof of it is that no translator yet have been satisfied with his translation. They all say that the translation falls terribly short of conveying what they know, what they receive from the Arabic. That's why you need so much, you need translation, and you need explanation, and you need commentary. You see? You need all that. there's a lot I would like to say about the language, but we're going to go right to the Arabic itself. The Arabic. The term Rab. This is Rab. Rab. This word here, Rab, is one of the first, very important, powerfully communicating, powerful words in the Quran in terms of compact meaning and ability to just communicate so much with one word. Actually, Rab is really one syllable, isn't it? Rab. When you say the Rabbun is two syllables, when you pronounce the sign at the end of the letter, but it's actually Rab, one syllable letter, but so rich in meaning. So the word, so rich in meaning, Rab. Allah is the Rab of all the worlds. If we see the Quran as we read it, with Al-Fatiha being the beginning for our reading of the Quran, the opening and beginning of the Quran, then the first words of the Quran, as we read it, are Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then Alhamdulillahi. So we have two descriptions of God until now, right? Bismillahir Rahman, that's one description of Rahman. Rahim, two descriptions. Alhamdulillah, Rab, third description. The third description in the Quran that we come upon, and we just began reading the Quran, is this one, Rab. And it says, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi, Rabbil Alameen. Affected grammatically. That's how comes Rabbi. Otherwise, speaking as a noun, a subject, it would be Rabbu, a Rabbun, you see? I'm not here to teach you Arabic. This is not an Arabic lesson session, a workshop, whatever you want to call it. this is Quranic Arabic. Quranic Arabic, okay? Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So Lord of all the world. Al Alameen. Lord of all the world. How do we find the meaning now for the common person? The message, the revelation. The revelation. How do we find it for the common person? How is this expression used other than for God? Do we have to go to an Arabic dictionary or an Arabic encyclopedia for it? Never go to any book before you go to the same book. Always go to the same book for the meaning. In the Quran is the dictionary for the Quran. Yes. This is the revelation. This is revelation 2. I'm giving you right now. In the Quran is the dictionary for the Quran. Did it send us outside for keys? No. He has the keys to the heavens and earth, huh? All the keys with the revelation. Okay. Rabbul Alameen. That means dictionary keys, meaning, definitions. Okay. Yes, Rabbul Alameen. Lord of all the world. Okay. In the Quran, Our God teaches us in a beautiful way to respect our parents. An expression used is with this, the term used with this expression, Lord, be to them as they were to me kind, as they were to me when they raised me up as a child. And this word is used, Rabbayani, for two during the verb. This is the verb of the noun. Rabbayani, yeah, for two. Rabbayani saghira, when they raised me up when I was small. As they raised me up when I was small, as a child. Rabbayani saghira. So, Rabbayani. This is a Rab. Rabba, and this is ya, this is two dots, ya, ni, and then when I was small, saghira, you know, we don't have to put that. So here is the same term used again in a different context. Here's how we find definition for the term in the Quran. You see how God used the same term in different references or in different contexts. Then you get the meaning of that term. How do we know the meaning of go? By its usage. Huh? That's the only way you know. So if you want to know the meaning of any term in the Quran, study its usage in the context of the Quran. Then you get its meaning. Rabbayani saghira and Rab. So you have scholars, right? Scholars, great scholars. Don't like a breakage in anything, unless it's supposed to be broken. So you have scholars, you know, they say the evolver, the evolver for Lord, call it the evolver, the Lord who evolved the world. So now this is not Darwin's evolution, this is different. So, here we have the meaning raised up. Now, every person know how a child is raised up by parents. So then now we have to go to the dictionary and see what raised means. No, we don't, because raised have been used in a common context. Say, as you raised me up when I was a small child. We all know how children are raised up by their parents from small child. Right? So what is the meaning of raised now? To love. To cherish. To be concerned for. To watch out for the needs of. To serve the needs of. To guide, direct. To look to the future and aim that child's life to the future that you want for it. You cut out for a child of, I want that child to be this kind of person. This kind of person. Then you groom that child. You care for that child and nourish that child and groom that child so that that child grows into the beautiful destiny you want for it. And what you want for it is that it be responsible for itself and responsible for more than itself. You want to raise it up so it will be like you. You're responsible for it and other things too. So you want that child to grow up into more responsibility, to be more independent and less dependent. Correct? So that's what it means. Rabbul Alameen. Now you say, well, how can that go for the world? The earth, the Mars and the sun and the stars out there. How are we to understand that or apply that to that reality? If God, by his will, has made the existence of something, created or caused the existence of something, and also laws governing the existence of that, forces or enforces a discipline and also an adjustment so that any situation that interrupts the will or the discipline will be taken care of by a law that enforces an adjustment. So the creation, like the child, when it comes to a point where it needs to make an adjustment, there is a law and an adjustment factor that comes about. They call it adaptation or whatever, that comes about, that comes into action or comes into play to make it possible for that existence to grow or progress into a form for surviving beyond the problem. Or for survival beyond the problem. Right? So survival is threatened to make it grow, really, isn't it? Survival is threatened to bring it to where God wants it to go. So God created it, but God created it to run into problems. And the problem it's going to run into have already been taken care of by an adjustment factor. And when it runs into that problem, it's going to make an adjustment. And the adjustment is going to be more progress, more evolution for that particular existence. Now, isn't that what we do for our children? So we know it's going to run into problems, but we know also that if we can't guide it to the adjustment or prepare it for the adjustment, we know that God's mercy. If we can get God's mercy, that child will be saved from that problem. Right? That's the real person of faith, you see. God is Rob of all the world, Lord of all the world. Will parent serve as a substitute for the term Rob? No. No. Although God has really kind of related the role of parent to the role of God. And this has happened naturally for man. Man has naturally come into that kind of idea about God, that I must have a higher parent. I must have a more powerful parent. Somewhere there is a generator that's more powerful and older than my parents, even than my ancestor that I can trace back as far as I can go in my mind. I trace him back, but how did he come here? He needed some help. So man keeps going back in his mind and in his logic, with his logic that he has, he keeps going back and he comes to the conclusion that there must be a supreme parent that parented me and all the worlds, all existence. Yes, Rabbul Alameen. All of this is in the Rabbul Alameen. Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the worlds. All right, so now God is Lord of all the worlds. But look at the Arabic language for world. If Alameen means world, Alam means one world. Alam. It's too sensitive, your volume is too high or something. Then Alam means one world, right? Alameen, world. Alam, world. What also is Alam? Knowledgeable person. And God says, above every possessor of knowledge is God the most knowledgeable. Above every knowledgeable person, a knowledgeable thing, is a possessor of knowledge is God the most knowledgeable? This is Quran. God the most knowledgeable. I'm tying that to Rabbul Alameen. I'm tying this expression in the Quran to Rabbul Alameen. Above every great knowledgeable person or being is God the most knowledgeable. Then what is that saying? It is saying Allah Rabbul Alameen. That's what it's saying. That expression is saying, the two expressions are saying the same thing. Rabbul Alameen, God is the Lord of all the worlds, meaning that God is responsible for all the worlds, coming into their maturity, into their existence as we see them established. And when we say above all the knowledgeable possessors of knowledge or knowledgeable persons is God, so we are saying that God is responsible for those knowledgeable persons. They are not his teachers. He's their teacher. He didn't get his from them. They got theirs from him. That's what it's saying. So actually the two are saying, addressing the same issue. The same issue. Now, we're still talking about the common man. Still addressing the mind of the common man. Not the man of higher knowledge or the man of revelation. We're still addressing the mind of the common man. And you should have been able to follow me with your common mind till this point. All right? Okay. He is Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the worlds. He evolved all the worlds. He's the one who had the concern for his creation. Created it feeble, weak, needing attention from the strong. Huh? Needing help from the knower. Needing help from the former, the one that formed it. Yes. Now, you know, we take too much credit, but we get deserved a little bit. I had that baby. That's my baby. I had that baby. I made that baby. Isn't that it? Now tell me if I'm saying things that I dreamed last night. I think those are expressions in the society. I made that baby. So we feel that way ignorantly, and it has an inkling of truth to it. You see? And because of that, we have a personal responsibility and a personal kind of obligation. Very, very personal obligation to this child that we say we made. Right? Leave him alone, he ain't yours. Another expression, right? Yes. So now because of that awareness of our involvement and that the child didn't exist until we acted. My Lord. Child didn't have any existence at all until we acted. It was our act that made that thing, that act. Excuse me for saying thing. I guess it's indication of the time. So because of that now, we accept the obligation and accept it with commitment, attachment, devotion, etc. This is my child. I'm going to raise this child. I have to raise this child. Even if I have to suffer myself, I have to care for this child. Yes. Now you think God doesn't suffer like a human suffers. But God suffered us to be free on our own. You know, suffer means bear, put up with, endure the displeasure. Now, we know God endures the displeasure. because our object is to please him. So if we don't, he must endure us, put us with the displeasure. How wonderful it is. Now, what I mean, it's wonderful to be able to tap dance on two realities and not get out of step. It's wonderful. Yeah. Now, all it is, as much believe as you may have believed until you say, this is our life, and that's correct. This is our life. This is the real life. Yes. In Christianity, they make the prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, Lord. In Judaism, they don't say it, but every rabbi is Lord. Rabbi, Lord. Rabba means Lord. So now, here is man now believing, and who's behind this theory anyway? That the world was evolved by the Creator, and it rested. Our holy book says, God is a worker, and God is active, and he is not at any time in time idle, but in a wonderful work, doing a marvelous thing at every instance of time. And then the telescope finally bears witness to it. No, the world has not ceased creating, being created. New stars are being born. Great worlds out there far away from us are coming into existence. That's what they say. So really, that theory has been proven wrong. The universe is not yet rested. The same thing that happened to bring this into existence and evolve a law and an order for it is happening out there in the distance, according to their own observation with their long telescopes, with their powerful telescopes. Correct? All right. But let's say let's ignore what has been discovered by modern science, and let's stick with that idea that it has rested. Maybe out there something is happening, and we do believe it. It's happening all the time. New births going on all the time in the distance. But for this family of bodies we call the solar system, it is rested. Yes, it is rested. So it's rested. We still don't accept that kind of reasoning that man is not Lord, or man is the one now responsible, taken care of, and responsible for the continuation of growth and development or evolution. Man comes into knowledge. He makes improvement upon himself. He makes improvement upon his environment. He raises the level of his existence. He improves and advances and raises the level of his existence. Is he Lord? The same law operating in the universe as an expression of God's will is operating in man, who is just a part of this universe. The same one that designed the earth and other bodies and things in the earth to perform as they perform, designed man in his mind to perform as they perform, or as it performs. Now, if we recognize that the earth is not its Lord, if we can recognize that the tree has no tree Lord, shouldn't we recognize that the man has no man Lord? That's common sense, isn't it? Common sense reasoning. Now, these things that you witnessed that were raised by our Lord, a creator, you don't say that they have a tree, Lord. You don't say the tree have a tree, Lord. The elephants have an elephant, Lord. You don't say the sun has a sun, Lord. The earth has an earth, Lord. You don't say that. Well, why say man has a man, Lord? You're thinking on your own. That's your problem. Start thinking on reality. Thinking with the support of reality, not your own mind. Or your mind dreams and exaggerates and become flawed in terms of ability to reason clearly. Yes. You become subjective and make big scientific errors. And subjective means you let the subject come into the logic and affect the logic. So here you're looking at yourself and admiring yourself that you've done so many wonderful things. Look at the wonderful things the Son have done. And once the man thought it was the Lord. But the man grew up to realize it's not the Lord. The sun has heated and given warmth to the life and has fed life all over the planet, giving it energy and food, increased its power to grow, giving it more vitality, etc., and made the world so plentiful in life, but not by itself. See, that's the difference in God and things that we make the mistake of identifying as God. The sun does that wonderful work, but without water, it'll be helpless. Right? Sun does all that wonderful work. See, it supplies the energy for growth. But without water, it can't do it. Big old powerful sun need little, humble, weak water in order to do its job. Right? Yes. Can't grow a thing without water. Can't have any life without water. So for man too, he's Lord. He's doing all these wonderful things. He increased the land in beauty and richness and in quantity of things.
Yes, he does.
But is he doing that by himself? Just like we have to have water first before we can have life, man has to have the material first before he can have growth for his world. And he's not the God or the Lord of the material that he uses. He's not even the teacher of the material he uses. He doesn't teach the material. The material teaches him. So, you see how his reality is reduced when we start reasoning soundly? Now the big Lord ain't so big, is he? He ain't so big now. Rabbul Alamin, Lord of all the worlds. But the worlds that revelate now, not common, not the common thought now, it is the uncommon thought, revealed thought, a thought influenced by revelation. Now we're moving from the common man's thought to the revelation. Now, God is not only the Lord of these worlds, these physical bodies, but he's the Lord of the system of knowledge. Not just the system of material. The system you're looking at is the system of material. He's not just Lord of that. He's Lord of the system of knowledge. And he created you, man, to benefit from his system of knowledge. And favored you above all his creation with a mind to benefit from his system of knowledge. Isn't that wonderful? Above all the things that he created, he favored man to benefit the most from his system of knowledge. And here you are, you come to the point in your own vanity, you come to the point that you dismiss the existence of a Lord anymore and say that you are the Lord now. We must not see God as the Lord, the God, the Creator as the Lord anymore. We must see the Creator in man, in the body of man, as the Lord. So God is in man now. And the world is under man now. And the man world is going to be judged by man now. And the world should worship man now. Am I off key? They tell me now. I know we got some Baptist preachers in here. Tell me. I never talked to this many imams without a Baptist preacher in here. So talk back. Lord of all the worlds. Lord of all the worlds. The system of planets. He's not just Lord Evolver of the system of planets. He's Lord and Evolver of the system of knowledge. And the wisest of scientists would tell us that some of his greatest breakthroughs came to him accidentally or by accident. Huh? But even if it wasn't by accident, if it was by careful concentration, the concentration is the instrument God gave you. That's how you were able to do that. He made that instrument. Hell, if I make an instrument that does wonders and get a patent for it, you gonna take credit for it? Just because it's working wonderfully for you, I'll carry you to the court. Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the world. Now, again, on the level of revelation, on the level of revelation, you people in the religious hierarchy, in the religious leadership, older people, you have claimed that you are lords. And then here comes another revelation. Use the term Lord. Let us not raise among ourselves Lord. Huh? Lord. Say a man among us is Lord. That's what Allah says in the Quran. You see? That the prophet is to address the people and challenge them and appeal to them, to their good senses, and say, you want peace? You want fairness between us? You want a civilized world? Let us not raise up lords among ourselves to put over the rest of us. Nobody has been given the right to do that. Okay, you come up with a right, white lord, pretty soon somebody's going to come up with a black lord. And this problem is going to multiply. So we have the European laws, we have the Asian laws, we have the African laws, now we have the black man of America, the Negro laws, we have all these laws. And all of them disappoint Abraham, peace be upon him. But they look so beauty in that glory. They look so powerful and beautiful in that glory. Oh, magnificent son of man. Oh, I love you. Out of our... As-salamu alaykum. And then pretty soon, march them to the grave. Well, that kind of Lord didn't satisfy Abraham. He said, my Lord is not one that's set. Praise be to Allah.
See, this is the beautiful. And we're just talking about one word. Allah Akbar. Allah says, before you can exhaust what is in the Quran, you will use up all the trees making pens. And the oceans multiplied over again with ink. Rabbul Alameen, Lord of all the world, all the system. Now, your imam, when I say your imam, I want to say you, because I'm you. You! We are one people and one spirit and one body. You! Separated like planets, our solar system, from Arabs, Italians, Jews, and others. Our solar system birthed this. Yeah. Now, yeah, I'm speaking symbolically, you understand. A cup of coffee, well, black coffee won't help you if you take it literally. Yeah, I see you're prime time with a straight jacket on. I don't want to see that. Yeah, but I'm you and you're me. We are one birth. You know that? In terms of what we are as a Muslim community, we are one birth. My birth and your birth all together with one birth. This is one birth. So out of this one birth has come one now to say something and learn it. Pakistani Muslim, pick it up, and he's thrilled by so much, he puts a drawing in the paper with world. And quoth the man, why do you think Muhammad, that Allah is Rabbul Alameen? Saying that the Imam has brought us to a higher level of understanding regarding this statement, Rabbul Alameen, that he is the Lord of the systems of knowledge. He's Lord of mathematics. Yes. He's the Lord of algebra. He's the Lord of astronomy. He's the Lord of chemistry. He's the Lord of medicine. He's the Lord of everything. He's the Lord of every system of knowledge. They don't believe it? Just examine those who claim that they are the beneficiary and trace where they got it. And you trace it back to the original owner, God himself, the Lord of all the world. Yes. And even say man makes arguments and fails to question his own existence. Made great theories of how the world came in. Don't need no great theory. How you came in, man? So why take this big task of examining the unlimited, infinite world when we can just question you where you came from? Were you around here to take care of us 200 years ago? Well, how are you going to be our God, man? We were doing all right before you came. And that's what Allah said in the Quran, that who is the best to judge? He who just popped up or the one that has been around for all time? Oh, Lord, I'm telling you this. Now, after you understand God is that description, then you can understand Alhamdulillah. That's what you should say for that Lord. Alhamdulillah. Why is he deserving of all this great praise? Because he is Lord of all systems of knowledge. And man doesn't praise because he sees trees and animals and things like that. He doesn't praise. The man, the best, the perfect praise, the complete praise comes when man's intellect appreciates what he sees outside. When he's understand that within these things are systems of knowledge. Within everything is systems of knowledge. وَسِعَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. He incorporates everything, or everything is tied together by a system of knowledge. But not only that, in another place he says, إِلْمًا وَرَحْمًا, knowledge and mercy. And that's where a man fails sometimes. He divorced himself from the mercy for the sake of continuing blindly on his course with the knowledge, and end up punishing us instead of relieving us. Yes. Urban Renewal was one of those cases, wasn't it? Urban Renewal set out to make man's life better and really punish life. But you know, man is stubborn. Once he goes so far in his path and get a lot of credit for it, he'd rather kill himself, and you too, than admit he erred. I've gone too long now, and too many people have been giving me credit for this. I'll never admit that I made a mistake. Hell, it just happened to suffer. So we will conclude this discussion with that conclusion that we made. Allahu Akbar. Yes, and our conclusion was that revelation is broadcast on two levels, the level of common language and the level of revelation, right? That's its nature, that it addresses the common mind, but also addresses the uncommon mind. The mind that has been trained by the guidance or by the light of revelation. You see? So, and we concluded that in addressing the human being, the common community of human beings on these two levels, it warns us that the creation is not rested. Now, I hope that was the conclusion you came to, the conclusion I was trying to get. That is not really rested. So even for the common man, no, the Lord, the first Lord is evidence that the first Lord is still active in his role as creator. Now, before these planets and these new worlds that they discover out there in the universe were known, that they're being born all the time, Allah said, at every point in time, he is in a marvelous work of creating. Kulli yawmin fan. In a marvelous work of creating things. And we see also in the Quran, God pointing to worlds that existed, but we didn't know them. Says that there are worlds that he created that you do not know. Is that what's in the Quran? Yes, there are the worlds you know, but there are worlds that he created that you do not know. And it took modern science to show us the great big world of microorganisms. In the time of the prophet, it was not known. Is that correct or not? But here it is, just a few centuries after the prophet, science discovers that there is a whole other world, marine life, microorganisms, not only marine life, they exist all in the air everywhere, that we can't see with our eyes, microorganisms. Yes, microbes. And the Quran has addressed it before it was known. This is no accident. This is communication coming from the Lord of the world. No accident. He is the Lord of all the world. And we have made it clear that the person with his insight, common mind, blessed with insight, a scientific perception, he made a mistake too. And glorifying himself and forgot to keep his mind on the very material and sources that from which he was benefiting and from which he was gaining a situation for growth of his own intellect. His own intellect was oppressed. And it was what he found in the natural order God created that gave him a situation for freeing his own intellect. He frees it and baths in the light of his own glory and forgets his humble origin and his dependency. While you're boasting, you're just dressed up in dependency. Yeah, you're boasting as independent. You're the boss, you're the God, you're the... But the common man with his common sense is woman too. It laughs. Oh, oh, I say it today, Miss Lord. I never really believed that. For I was God. I never did believe that man was God. You know, they said it, but I never really believed it. That's that mind, common mind that God created. Your mind has to become unreal before you accept that a man is God or something like that. Your mind has to become unreal. So they have to give you the unreal to convert you to accept the unreal. So they give you a fantasy, a story tale, a fantasy story about the origin of things and the creation of things, you know. They give you a lie about the reality of matter and everything, and now you are ready to believe a man is God.
Because it frees us for the first time. That's right. It frees us indeed. See, a lot of us don't understand that. See, some say, oh, I want to be free. Look, what is required for your freedom is told in your history. If you were never a Christian, then you don't need understanding on Christianity to make you free. If you were never deprived of the use of your own good senses, then you don't need a mental resurrection. But if you have been deprived of the freedom to exercise the use of your own good senses, you need a mental freeing. And if you came up in the Christianity, you need a biblical liberation. So that's how come these people love this. I love it and they love it. Because we both came from Christianity and we both came from indignation. And we're looking for understanding and dignity. And we gonna get it. That's right. Because the Lord is my co-pilot. Oh, yeah. The leader of Nigeria, he visited with President Reagan, and he's looking for his friend Carter, and Carter's gone.
You don't like Moms Mabry said in that song? What'd she say? Luther? Yeah. John? It gone. Mom Mabry said it gone. She was crying inside. She missed her friends. She was singing that song for the whole people, you know. And I'm sure that President Shangri, he was singing his song too at the White House for his whole people. And Reagan said, an old Chinese proverb said, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. You teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. So we don't have no more assistance. We don't have no more aid. But we can help you learn how to do things for yourself. So don't think this is Carter's storehouse. He's gone. Well, you are. We need some of that talk. I don't say it's fair, because it's not fair. Because they're spending money on things that are not as important as the uplift of the people. So it's not fair. But you know, a lot of things happen to us that are not fair in God's plan. And it happens because Allah wants to give us a challenge to bring out our muscles. And I'm ready! Oh, yes. Yes. So thorns then represent cheating. C-H-E-A-T-I-N-G. I think that's how you spell that word. Cheating. Thorn is cheating. What is cheating in the Quran? Batil. El-Batil. El-Batil. Cheating. What does the Quran say about al-Batil? Jal-Haq. Truth has come. And Batil got to get on the move. Got to vanish. Truth has come and Batil must perish. Now it's translated falsehood. But actually this word means cheating. Cheating people out of that God sent for everybody. They hold it for themselves and cheat the people out of it. That's what this cheating is. Cheating. That's Batil. The thorn then represents this cheating. Those people that who are the thorn, they are the ones who are doing the cheating. Brother Imam, are you saying the church leadership is the one that cheated us out of? They're supposed to be the one that preached. The Bible says, and that old fallen angel, the devil, was transformed as an angel of light. And in another place it says, and he mounted up even up to heaven and was seen sitting in the high place as God. Isn't that the book? And doesn't the Pope say that he represents Jesus and Jesus represents God on earth? He's gone and left the key with Peter. That's what they say. And he's called Papa. Representative of the Heavenly Father on earth. And then they used to require that when you go see him, you must bow. You must make obeisance to him. You bow to the Pope. And you don't stand up until you leave his sight. You back out. Bend over. Didn't they require worship of him? They required worship of him. Oh, are you saying the Pope is the devil? No.
But that thing that he's in is the devil. It's not true for just him. It's true for the Baptists. They're just smaller devils. They have a little less of the Baptist. Oh, brother, how can we do that and promote inner faith? Because those people are dead and ignorant. You should love the people of the Christian religion because they don't know what's going on. You should love them. What about the preacher? Love him too. He has no sins. All of them been mistreated. They've been denied the high knowledge. They give them a little insight, just a little bit, but they don't give them the real thing. They don't get the real thing. If they got the real thing, there'd be trouble in the order of the church. Because there are good people in the order of the church. And if they knew the truth, those people, there'd be a rebellion. There'd be a war in the establishment of the church. So how often do they go out to them? We love them. And we talk like this among each other. But we don't go to their churches and talk like this. No. Because we know they don't know and we love them. All right, let's see. In the New Testament, Jesus is supposed to be crucified on the cross, or he has been hung up there. He's not yet dead. And at the point wherein he's just about to leave the world, he says to his companions, he said, "Behold your mother." Let's put that on the board. He said, "Behold your mother." That's what he said. Who was that there for? That's there for the chiefs of the Baptists. That ain't there for your Belalian preacher. No, indeed. That's not there for the Appalachian preacher. No, indeed. That's there for the top people. In fact, I doubt if there are many preachers at all that understand that or know that's there. Might be just those top people in this hierarchy of world power that know exactly what's there. And occasionally they elect somebody to head the religion, the church, to preserve it, and they share it with that person. What is it saying? It's saying that the church is wrong in presenting Jesus as an image. But only they know this. The very few at the very top. He said, "Behold your mother." Now, what were they doing if we follow that kind of reasoning in the scheme, in the drama of that crucifixion? What do you imagine they were doing when he said that? They were looking at him. Right? Because he was crucified on the cross. And he said, "Behold your mother." In other words, don't look at me. Look at your mother. Now, it's a lot in this. But we are not going into the science of it today. It'd take too long. And most of you wouldn't appreciate it anyway. But the point that we're making now
is that Jesus, when he was supposed to have been on the cross, he said, look at Mary. He didn't say, look at him. He said, look at your mother. So what does that mean? I'm gone away. Don't look at me. Look at your congregation. Mary is symbolic of the congregation. Without leadership. Those persons he spoke to were supposed to be leaders. And he told them not to look at him anymore. I'm not your leader. Look at your congregation. In other words, take your eyes off of me now and get busy to do something about your congregation. Jesus directed their eyes off of him when he was on the cross, and they have directed our eyes on him on the cross. Is that right? I mean, I'm going by their book, not ours. Because our book says this whole thing is a lie. And it is. I know I've seen it with my own eyes. That's right. Lord has blessed me to see it with my own eyes. I'm a witness that's a lie. Yes. All right. So, if he said, behold your mother, that's an indication that they are not to look to him. They are to look to the congregation. They are not to focus him, focus the sights on him. They are to focus the eyes or the attention on the congregation. When Jesus passed, they shouldn't have been exalting Jesus and telling people to come to God through Jesus. They should have been telling the people to come to God through Mary. How did Jesus come? Didn't he come through Mary? So Jesus is gone. Then you have to look to Mary again. That's what the book is saying. I came through Mary, now I'm gone. Okay, companions in this work, look to your mother. What does it mean? Look to your society. God will bless your society of righteous people with another leader. Don't look at me no more. Look to your society. And he told them, watch. Isn't that what he said? The commandment was to watch. Watch what? Watch the righteous to see when there's an indication that one of them might be the new leader. Watch the congregation. Not Jesus anymore. He's gone. Now keep your focus on the congregation, because God is going to give you another comforter. And it's going to come through Mary, just like I did. Oh, boy. I can't help it. I can't help it. It makes the arthritis go. Oh, Lord. Now, didn't Prophet Muhammad come from the common, uneducated people? Yes. And he was a righteous soul. See, we have observed him. He's on the plane of great excellence. He has character that is certainly an example to you. That's what Allah says of him. And he said, I have lived with you a lifetime. That's what Prophet Muhammad says. I have lived with you a lifetime. 40 years before he was missioned as prophet. And he was telling them that you have no right to reject me as a prophet. I have a lifetime of good record among you. While you were giving yourselves to ignorance pollution in religion, corruption, injustice, bad dealings. I stayed away from that. And I have your witness that I was El Amin, the honest one. Is that right? Yes. Yes. So it came, the new confidence came. Now, Prophet Muhammad, he left, didn't he? Yes, he left. What did he tell them to do? Look to your congregation. Yes. He's the last prophet, but what did he tell them to do? Look to their congregation. And one of his instructions to them was not to let the Khalifa fall. Obey your leader. Is that right? That was one of his commands. And in one of his hadith, he says, even if he be an African with a shriveled up head like a raisin, obey him. Isn't that what he said? He didn't say, look to me, did he? He didn't say, look to me. No. He now exists in the revelation. He's gone as a person. He's now in the revelation. Allah tells me how to obey Prophet Muhammad. Yes. Because what was revealed to him was his message. And said that, and the light descended, and the light descended with him. Prophet Muhammad came down in the vision, and the light descended with him. So what is Prophet Muhammad in a more accurate sense? Prophet Muhammad is the revelation. And what did his wife Aisha say? Say, if you want to know what he was, or how he lived, he was the Quran. She said, he was the Quran. Say, his life, his character was the Quran. So why do we want to go to Hadith to find Prophet Muhammad? The best picture of Prophet Muhammad is in the Quran. Hadith only carries some second support. Not the best support. It carries a next best. It represents the next best support. But the best support for what Prophet Muhammad was and what he did is the Quran itself. And Allah never said he had placed angels around the hadith to protect it against corruption. But he said he has placed angels over this book. You can't enter it. The devils can't enter it to mess it up. It has been preserved as it is, and as it was, till this very day. Can we say that of Hadith? No, indeed. Hadith has grades of purity, grades of authenticity. All the Hadiths are not even accepted by the Muslims. Many of the Hadiths are rejected by most of the Muslims of the world. Yes. But there are some that are very sound, and they are accepted. Some are so pure that they are regarded almost like revelation. But even at that, they don't stand on the same level of authenticity with the Quran. All right? Didn't mean to diverge from the course. Behold your mother. So if you all are lucky enough, fortunate enough, blessed enough, to get me a meeting with the Pope, this is what I want to tell Papa. I want to tell him, no need of hoarding, man, we got it. It has no purpose, it has no use no more. So why hoard it when we got it? Come on, let's help us free the people.